Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Tuesday class, November 2nd, 2021, Psalm 25.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God to Psalm 25, this acrostic psalm, Psalm 25. We are in verses 4 through 7. The paragraph on divine guidance. In preparation to worship our Lord, let's pray. Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have graced us out with one more day of freedom in Client Nation USA. The freedom to assemble in a Bible teaching church such as this one, and the freedom to worship you through the study of your word. And as we do so, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Psalm 25, the acrostic psalm, the Aleph-Phile, verse 1. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul in prayer. Verse 2, the Beth-Phile. In you I trust, and the word is batak. I pick up my troubles and problems and slam them on you, O my God. Do not let me become confused, and do not let my enemies rejoice in military triumph over me. The Gimel-Phile, indeed, all of those who wait for you, who have maximum confidence in you, maximum faith, rest, life, they will not be put to shame or confused. However, the ones who act treacherously and deceitfully without cause, they will be put to shame and confused. That brings us to verses 4 through 7, where we have David's prayer for wisdom and divine guidance in this time of great historical crisis and national disaster, the Absalom Revolution, the civil war that is going on in Israel. Verse 4, cause me to know your ways, O Lord. Intensively teach me your paths. Train me in your ways. And then David's prayer for wisdom and divine guidance continues on in verse 5, Psalm 25, verse 5. In verse 5, there are actually two files in this acrostic psalm. In verse 5, the first half is the Hey file, the fifth letter of the Hebrew alphabet. And then the last half of verse 5 is the vav file, the sixth letter of the Hebrew alphabet. The hay represents a window, and this is a window that enables you to see. It enables you to see the will of God for your life. God reveals His will through His Word. The hay file, then, is the perspective file, the revelation file. It is divine guidance through revelation, metabolized doctrine in the heart of the believer. Maximum metabolized doctrine in your heart enables you to look at life and to look at the circumstances of life from the divine viewpoint. David is praying for divine guidance, so that he might look at the historical crisis and national disaster of the Absalom Revolution and Civil War from the divine viewpoint. The first half of verse 5, the hay file, says in the King James, "Lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation." Lead me in thy truth. This is the hifil imperative of the verb darak, with the first person singular suffix plus the preposition baith, prefixed to the noun emet, with the second person singular masculine suffix. Darak. D-A-R-A-K. We have the noun, Derek, way, path, road. Now we have the verb, darak. In the Cal stem, darak means to tread or to trample or to march forth into battle. But we don't have the Cal stem. In the Hifil stem, which is what we have, which is the causative stem of the Hebrew, it means to cause, to march, or to lead, or to guide. And that's how it'll be translated, to guide. And the Lord is the one doing the leading, the guiding. First person singular suffix me refers to spiritually mature believer David. The imperative mood is the imperative of entreaty. This is a polite command from a spiritually mature believer who knows God, who knows the essence of God, who knows the plan of God and the grace of God, and he loves God. The preposition baith bishava. The preposition baith introduces instrumentality, is correctly translated, by means of. By means of, and then the noun emet. That's Aleph, E-M-E-T. Emet. Emet means firmness or faithfulness or truth. So that's point one. It has several connotations. Firmness, faithfulness, or truth. Two, in our verse, it means truth. The absolute truth of the Word of God. Bible doctrine. So here it means truth, the absolute truth of the Word of God, Bible doctrine. Three, the Lord guides the believer through divine revelation. On Sunday afternoon and evening, we put our American flag blanket out, and some chairs, and a big bowl of all kinds of vitamins. And our dog, Buddy, he That's his blanket. He lays on the blanket. Of course, we have the back, the blue sign right there. And we're kind of in more of an isolated, not a lot of children in our development, but we were quite surprised. All of the kids, and last year it was almost all high school kids who shouldn't even have been trick or treating. We did see Don Lepchek come around and with his pillowcase and. But I said, Don, take whatever you want, you know. And we have a neighbor that's every time she comes by, she has a dog treat for Buddy. She loves Buddy, and. I always tell her Merry Christmas, and now she always says Merry Christmas and back, and so now we call her Miss Merry Christmas. Well, she has a problem with the cholesterol, and she was taking statin drugs, and she developed statin-induced lupus. And was having all kinds of pain and problems, and she got the word from Debbie and a neighbor that you need to talk to Pastor Olson. And he will help you with, give you something to do with your cholesterol. So she came in and sat down, and I said, this golden flaxseed for you. I said, I had high cholesterol. I asked her what her numbers were. Her numbers are not that high. But she didn't want to continue with statin drugs because of the lupus. And I said, well, my cholesterol numbers were a lot higher than yours. And I was taking statin drugs, and my body didn't like those at all either. So I finally told my cardiologist, that's over. I'm not taking any more statin drugs. And then I said, I'm going to try to find something else. Well, there's this golden flaxseed for you, grown in the North Dakota, I believe. I started taking it, and it lowered my cholesterol lower than the statin drugs. Lower than it ever got with statin drugs. And it's food. And my body loved it. And not only that, I lost weight. And all these things I'm saying, her eyes lit up. Oh, I can lose weight too. Women are always looking to lose weight. So. And so we got talking. She goes, you know, you and Deborah, she called Debbie, Deborah, you and Deborah, you are the nicest people. And I said, well, wait, no, I wouldn't say that. You don't really know us, you know. There are a lot of people that would say, whoa, right there, you know. And she said, well, you know, and I love your American flag out there and your back, the blue. But she says, you know, we don't talk politics. And I says, well, what is there anything fun to talk about with politics? I said, not either. I said, I'm a Christian. And I don't care whether you're Republican, Democrat, or pedestrian. If you stand for the truth, the establishment truth presented in the Word of God, then I'm for you. I'm going to vote for the one who stands for the truth, the establishment truth God has revealed in His Word. And that's why I have American flag. That's a part of the divine institutions of nationalism. That's why I have back the blue. That's a part of establishment truth. Some of the greatest heroes in our nation are military and law enforcement. But it's because that's what the Word of God says. And so, politics don't mean a damn thing to me. Politicians are evil. But God and His Word is absolutely true. So I look, and as a Christian, I look to see who lines up with the truth of the Word of God the most. And that's the one I will support. Now, it happens to be most of the time right now, it's the Republican Party. The Democratic Party has been taken over by socialists. And she says, I agree. Mike and I, we agree. We agree with you. Now, our neighbor, we disagree. We don't talk politics with them because they're on the other side of the fence. But I said, well, I'm not talking politics either. I'm talking truth. You live your life according to truth. And that's how you, as a believer in Jesus Christ, you have responsibility as a citizen of the United States of America to present and stand for the truth that's revealed in God's Word. And she says, yes. And then she says, you keep talking. You're going to make me cry. And I said, well, I don't want to make you cry. But so she took it home, and then within 24 hours, she's texting Debbie and saying, I'm taking the flaxseed, and I feel awesome. Well, she just took it one time. I mean, you know. So here it means truth. It means the absolute truth of the Word of God. So the Lord guides the believer through divine revelation. 4. The Lord guides the believer through maximum metabolized doctrine in the heart. He guides the believer through maximum metabolized doctrine in the heart by means of preposition based, by means of truth, the absolute truth of God's Word you've learned and believed and is in your heart. God guides you through that, not through your emotions. If you're operating on your emotions, you are on the wrong, you're in the wrong sphere. There is no spiritual life if you're in emotional revolt of the soul and you're operating by your emotions. You're living in the cosmic system rather than living the spiritual life. Now, emotions are responders to respond to truth, but you don't live your life by emotion. 5, you cannot know the will of God apart from knowing the Word of God. That's the key. You cannot know the will of God apart from knowing the Word of God. And where's the will of God in the Scriptures? Every imperative mood. Every imperative mood, that's God's will. And if it's an imperative with a negative, it's a prohibition. And that's God's will. That's what God's will is for you not to do. We're given the prohibition. Stop grieving the Holy Spirit. You grieve the Holy Spirit when you make bad decisions and sin and get into Satan's cosmic system. Stop quenching the Holy Spirit. We're commanded. That's the will of God. Stop grieving the Holy Spirit. Stop quenching the Holy Spirit. That is, stop living in Satan's cosmic system. Stop. Stop living in Satan's cosmic system. And live the spiritual life by the spiritual skills. Keep on being empowered by the Spirit. Ephesians 5:18. Walk by means of the Spirit. That is, live your life by God the Holy Spirit. grow up in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's God's will. That's God's will. Live the spiritual life by the spiritual skills. That's God's will. Stay out of the cosmic system. That's God's will. Stop. Wake up. Come to your senses. Get back into fellowship with God to rebound and live the spiritual life by the spiritual skills. That's the will of God. 6. Maximum metabolized doctrine in the heart is the basis of divine guidance. Maximum metabolized doctrine in the heart is the basis of divine guidance. Seven, it is the basis of knowing the will of God for your life at any time and in every situation or circumstance. It's the basis of knowing the will of God for your life at any time and in every situation or circumstance. So in this imperative mood of entreaty, David is entreating the Lord, God the Father, in prayer to guide him by means of his word during these times of historical crisis and national disaster, during these times of revolution and civil war. So, corrected translation, guide me by means of your truth, Bible doctrine. Guide me by means of your truth. And teach me. This is the conjunction vav prefix to the PL imperative of the verb lamav with the first person singular suffix. The conjunction vav is continuative, correctly translated and. And then we have lamav. L-A-M-A-D, lamad. Now, lamad, this is the same verb we had in verse 4. In the cal stem, it means to be trained or to learn, but in the pl stem, which is the intensive stem, and that's what we have, it means to teach someone something. It refers to intensive training. First person singular suffix, me again is David. Spiritually mature believer David. So we have, in corrected translation, guide me by means of your truth and intensively teach me, train me, for thou art the God of my salvation. We have the causal conjunction key joined by a makef to the personal pronoun atah, plus the noun Elohim, plus the noun Yesha, with the first person singular suffix. Key. K, long I. Key is a causal conjunction. It's used here as a causal conjunction. Correctly translated, because. Now, it's joined by a makef to a personal pronoun, atah. That's very, very, very important. So we have ki, but it's joined by a makef to atah. Aleph, A-T-T, that's the doubling. That doggish there is the doubling of the letter, A-T-T-A-H, atah. So they're joined together by a makef, and that the personal pronoun atah is you referring to God, Elohim, God. The use of the personal pronoun is very emphatic. You don't have to have a pronoun in Hebrew or Greek. Whenever you see a pronoun added, personal pronoun in Hebrew or Greek, it's for emphasis, to make this a very emphatic statement. Because you, God, because you, Sir, you Elohim. So one, David is putting the spotlight on the God. And that's what the winner believer does. The winner believer puts the spotlight on God, not on himself, not who and what he is, not on people, and not people emphasis. For the winner believer, it's God emphasis over people emphasis. The winner believer, the number one and most important love of your life is Jesus Christ. And most of you, you're married. You're commanded, husband, love your wives. Yes, you love your wives. But when you are a spiritually mature believer, living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills, the most important love of your life is Jesus Christ. Now, there are a lot of people, a lot of believers that put people emphasis over God emphasis, and Jesus Christ is not their most important love. And they are not mature believers at all. In fact, a lot of times they never do reach spiritual maturity because they put people emphasis over God emphasis. But the winner believer, it's always God emphasis over people emphasis. I remember my mom and dad would come down for Parents' Day. They had at Washington State University. They'd come down and it was great to have them down. They usually have something special going on, like a football game and all that. And it was over the weekend. And at this point in time, God had guided me to Bethany Bible Church, and I had grown up in the grace and knowledge of Christ, and I love Jesus Christ, and there was nothing more important than Jesus Christ. And I love my mom and dad dearly. But the reason why I could love my mom and dad the way I loved them was because I loved Jesus Christ, number one. And so we did a lot of fun things. Saturday we went to the football game, and we went out together, and we ate. Not like there's a lot of great restaurants in Pullman. It's a very small town. We go out and eat, and then Sunday morning I said, "Now, Mom and Dad, I have Bible class this morning. There's a great pastor here, great pastor, and I would love it if you two would like to go with me. I would love to have you go with me." Excuse me. Well, I guess I strained my vocal cord. My mom wanted to go. My mom wanted to go, but my dad didn't really want to go. So Mom says, "Well, I'll stay with your father." I said, "Okay, I'm going to go to Bible class. I'm going to worship the Lord Jesus Christ." And I just said, "Mom and Dad, I love you guys so much. But I love the Lord Jesus Christ, number one. He's my most important love. And I'm going to go and worship him." And so I did, and I came back. I said, "When I come back, we got the rest of the day together," and we did. But it was a great opportunity to let them know and see that for the believer in Jesus Christ, God has this magnificent plan. And when you live that plan, well, the Lord Jesus Christ makes himself at home in your heart. You have virtue love brought to completion in your heart. You have personal love for God the Father motivating impersonal love for all, occupation with Jesus Christ. And you live your life one day at a time to glorify God. One day at a time to glorify God. And your priorities are all set. The winner believer, the priorities are set. God is number one. God first. God first. The Word of God. God and His Word. That's first. No doubt. That's it. Period. Over and out. That's the winner believer. Well, that was David. That was David. And even though he had been driven from the palace and driven from being the king of Israel, and his son Absalom has taken over, he at this point in his life This is David's finest hour. This is David's finest hour. Here he is. He's lost the throne to his son, who's usurped the throne. He's been driven from the palace. He has all, away from all of his material wealth. He has an establishment army that's gone with him, very loyal, made up of a lot of mature believers, and they are with him. This is David's finest hour. I don't know if you, I'm sure you have, you've seen the movie Apollo 13, and that was the astronauts that were going to go and walk on the moon, and then there was an explosion, and they did not walk on the moon, and it was the grace and power of God that they made it back alive. And there was a lot of people that didn't think they would make it back alive. And there were two members of NASA talking. He says, the heat shield, the explosion was right next to the heat shield. The heat shield could fail, they burn up, the parachutes won't open, they'll hit the water at 300 miles an hour and die, all of these things. And then another fellow looked at him and says, this will be the greatest disaster of NASA space flight history. And then the head of it all heard that, and he turned around. He was very serious. He says, with all due respect, I believe this will be our finest hour. Well, that's exactly what it is for David. This is David's finest hour. Not only does he defeat the revolutionary forces, he is restored to King of Israel with greater blessing, greater prosperity than he ever had before. He is the greatest king ever in Israel's history. This is David's finest hour. So David is putting the spotlight on God. Two, in fact, he uses the word Elohim. Aleph, E-L-O-H-I-M, Elohim. Now you see right here that Hirak Yod Mem. There's the Hirak, there's the Yod, there's the Mem. That's the plural ending. We translated God. The plural ending, Im, includes God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Three, David has total confidence that the living and true God will deliver him in these times of revolution and civil war. He has total confidence that the living and true God will deliver him in these times of revolution and civil war, in these times of historical crisis and national disaster. Four, David knows God. He knows God. He knows the essence of God, the grace of God, the plan of God. He loves God. And therefore, he has absolute confidence that God is the basis of his deliverance and his rescue. David knows God and he loves God, and therefore, he has absolute confidence that God is the basis of his deliverance and rescue. And then we have the word Yesha. That's Y-E-S-H-A-I-N, Yesha. It's been translated in the King James Salvation. It has not, that's not the meaning. It means deliverance. It means rescue. It means safety. It means welfare. Deliverance, rescue, safety, welfare. In other words, point five, David anticipates that he is going to be delivered from the Absalom revolution and the civil war. That's the noun Yeshah, deliverance, rescue, safety, welfare. David anticipates that he's going to be delivered from the Absalom revolution and the civil war. So we have, guide me by means of your truth, the absolute truth of the Word of God, and intensively teach me your Word, train me, because you are the God of my deliverance. Not, that is so fantastic. Because you are the God of my deliverance, rescue, and safety. Now that brings us to the last half of verse 5, where we have the Vav file. The Vav is the sixth letter of the Hebrew alphabet. Vav. 1. The Vav represents a hook or a peg or a nail. See, you look at there, that's what it is. A hook, a peg, or a nail. Two, as you consistently and faithfully learn the doctrines of the Word of God, you hang these doctrines, as it were, on pegs and hooks and nails in your soul. You got all these pegs and hooks and nails in your soul, and you're hanging all these doctrines. Like you got clothes in your closet hung up. And you take different clothes. If you're in the evening, I go home and take off the hanger, the PJs. Get my pajamas on. I love pajamas. I would be in pajamas all the time. It's just probably not appropriate for me to teach you in pajamas. I love pajamas and moccasins. And so that comes off. And if it's raining, well, then a raincoat comes off. If it's cold, a heavy coat comes off. They're all hung up. Well, these represent doctrines in your soul for different situations and different circumstances. David's got all these doctrines. He just takes them off the peg in his heart and applies it to situation. Three, once these doctrines are metabolized and hung on pegs and hooks in the soul, now you can apply that doctrine to your experience, to your life, to what's going on in your life, to what's going on in the world, in America, in your state, at your job. So once these doctrines are metabolized and hung on pegs and hooks in the soul, now you can apply that doctrine to your experience. It could be your family, it could be your marriage. Four, just as you take clothes off a peg or hook and wear it, so you take Bible doctrine off a peg in your heart. So you see, there's a new understanding of that peg of my heart, see? Just as you take clothes off a peg or hook and wear it, so you take Bible doctrine off a peg in your heart and you apply it. You apply it. If you're going through momentum testing, you apply it. If you're going through people testing, you apply impersonal love and you clear the hurdle. You take that doctrine of impersonal love off the peg, the nail, the hook in your heart. You apply impersonal love and you clear the hurdle and glorify God. system testing. You're at work. You got a job, and the manager is an asshole, and he's giving you a bad time. Well, people testing. It's people testing. So you got a hurdle. You precisely correct procedure. You clear that hurdle with impersonal love. Do your job as unto the Lord. Doesn't make any difference whether there are good people in authority, good managers, there are bad people in authority. Doesn't make any difference. You still apply impersonal love and do your job as unto the Lord. Do your job as unto the Lord. Don't malign, don't judge, don't slander. If he's bad, don't even go there. Just do your job as unto the Lord. And be the best whatever you are. If you are buttering buns at Roy Rogers, you be the best bun butterer ever. If you're putting hinges on doors at a cabinet shop, then you be the best hinge putter on her ever. I've done these things. When I was at WSU, I got a job at a cabinet shop. The owner was a Christian, and he made cabinets. And when I started out, my job was to get the doors and put hinges on the doors. And I asked him, what's the most hinges you've ever had put on, most doors with hinges put on? He told me, I said, okay. And I broke the record of putting hinges on. And then when I was spending a summer down in Houston, the people in Bereka, they knew that I was on the prayer list, a seminary student, and I needed a job, and they got me a job buttering buns at Roy Rogers. It didn't pay a lot, but it was logistical grace. So I got in there, and they said, now your job, if anybody spills a Coke or something, why, you go out and clean that up. But otherwise, here's, you take the buns, and the buns, and butter buns. I like to think I was the best bun butterer they'd had for a long time. And then they said, we got a job, you can make a little more money. Bertha's. You will be a dishwasher at Bertha's. And so I went and talked with the people, and I told them I was a seminary student. I said, I have no problem doing dishes. I did that all the time I was growing up. I said, I got one question. Can I bring my radio in and listen to country music? They said, yes, you can do that. Thank you. And there I'm listening to George Jones and Tammy Wynette singing, we're going to hold on. Of course they didn't, but anyway, I was singing along with them anyway. And wash dishes. But I did my job as unto the Lord. I didn't care whether. Yeah, I'm in graduate school. I understand that. But it's just logistical grace. Whether it's buttering buns or washing dishes or putting hinges on doors, it doesn't make any difference. You do your job as unto the Lord. And you'll have people that provide people testing and system testing. Impersonal love. Clear the hurdle with impersonal love and just keep on going. Keep on trucking. So once these doctrines are metabolized and hung on pegs and hooks in the soul, now you can apply that doctrine to your experience. 4, just as you take clothes off a peg or a hook and wear it, so you take Bible doctrine off a peg in your heart and you apply it. 5, had I given you point 4?
Yes, sir, that was 4.
Okay, point 5. The Vav file is used in Psalm 25 to emphasize various doctrines, but especially the faith rest life as a problem-solving device. And David keeps bringing faith rest in. That was the basis of spirituality in the Old Testament. They did not have any universal indwelling of the Spirit. They had no anointing. They had no chrisma that we have in the church age, but they did have the faith rest life. Six, David is taking all the doctrinal rationales he has learned and hung on the pegs of his heart, and he is applying them through the faith rest life. He's taking all the doctrinal rationales he has learned and hung on the pegs of his heart and is applying them through the faith rest life. Here he is in historical crisis, national disaster. He's in a revolution and civil war. But he has all these magnificent doctrines in his soul. Six, David is taking all the doctrinal rationales he has learned and hung on the pegs of his heart and is applying them through the faith rest drill. Seven, on the hooks and pegs of his heart, David has the essence of God rationale. He knows God, who and what God is. He knows the essence of God. He knows the plan of God. He knows the logistical grace of God. Here he is out in the desert with just the clothes on his back, and here he has he watches the logistical grace of God. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. And he sees it day after day after day, one day at a time. God gives us one day at a time. If you wake up tomorrow morning, he has graced you out with one more day. It's a grace gift. Each day is a gift. Here we are today. It's a grace gift. A day, and we're commanded, redeem the time. Make the most of the time. When we come into the world at physical birth, we have X amount of days here on planet Earth. X amount of days. And we don't know what that is. God does. He's the one who knows how many days is in that X. We each one have X amount of days, and every day is a grace gift from God. It's an opportunity for you to make good decisions. Opportunity for you to live the spiritual life by the spiritual skills. Opportunity for you to walk in the light and glorify God. We're only here X amount of days, and even if the X amount of days, I don't know what you think is a long time, 100? 110? It's not very long. And every day is a grace gift. Make the most of every day that God gives to you. And he has God's problem-solving devices. Rebound. He has used rebound. Faith, rest, life. Grace orientation. Doctrinal orientation. Personal love for God the Father. Impersonal love for all. Including his son Absalom, who has driven him out of the palace and has usurped the authority as king over Israel. Occupation with Christ and sharing the happiness of God. Eight. In reverse concentration, spiritually mature believer David takes these doctrines off the pegs and off the hooks in his heart and applies them to the historical crisis and national disaster that he is facing, the revolution and the civil war. So in reverse concentration, spiritually mature believer David takes these doctrines off the pegs, the hooks in his heart, and applies them to the historical crisis and national disaster that he is facing. And then it says in the King James, on thee do I wait all the day. We have the accusative direct object marker. There's actually in the Hebrew, there is a direct object marker to let you know that this word is the direct object of the sentence. That's really cool. They don't have that in the Greek, but they have that in the Hebrew. They don't use it all the time, but occasionally it's put in there. So we have the accusative direct object marker eighth plus the second person singular masculine suffix plus the PL perfect of the verb kava with the first person singular subject plus the noun kol joined by a makef to the noun yom with the definite article. So the direct object marker looks like this. It's not translatable. You don't translate it. Aleph, E-T-H. It just lets you know that it's introducing the direct object of the sentence. And that the direct object is the second person singular masculine suffix, you. You is God, Elohim. That's the direct object. You, God, Elohim. And then the noun kol, kol, K-O-L, means all or the whole of, literally. And then the noun yom, that's Y long O-M, that's the Hebrew word for day. And with the definite article, the day. So kol hayom, literally, is all the day. However, Brown, Driver, and Briggs, the Hebrew lexicon on page 400, tells us that when you have kol joined by a makef to hayom, as it is in our verse, now it's a Hebrew idiom that means always, continually, all day long. And that's how we're going to, it means all day long. This is BDB, page 400. When you get home, you check that out and look it up. Always, continually, all day long. And then the verb kava. That's Q-A-V-A-H, kava. Kava, this is the same verb we had back in verse 3. It was originally used of making a rope. You start out with a few strands, which by themselves are easily broken. Then these strands are woven into a rope or a cable, which cannot break. And therefore, kava is the strongest verb in the Hebrew to describe the faith rest life. So one, kava means to wait for, usually translated to wait for, but it means to have maximum confidence in. To have maximum confidence in. In David has maximum confidence in you, in God, in Elohim. Two, David is a spiritually mature believer, has maximum confidence in the living and true God. David is a spiritually mature believer, has maximum confidence in the living and true God. He's a spiritually mature believer, he has spirituality, he has maximum faith rest function, he's living the spiritual life, which is maximum faith rest function. Three, those who wait on the Lord are those who keep on having maximum confidence in the Lord, who keep on trusting the Lord. And that is David. Right now, no matter, yes, there's a conspiracy, a revolution, a civil war, but he has not stopped. All day long, all day long, David keeps on having maximum confidence in the Lord. For even though we are weak little strands by ourselves, those who keep on having maximum confidence in the Lord become a powerful rope, cable, which nothing can break. Which nothing can break. Even though we are weak little strands by ourselves, those who keep on having maximum confidence in the Lord become a powerful rope, a cable, which nothing can break. And that's David. Five, David has the doctrine of the faith rest life hanging on a peg in his heart. David has the doctrine of the faith rest life hanging on a peg in his heart. 6. He is going to use the faith rest life not only as a part of his spirituality, but as a problem solving device. And he's going to use it to the maximum during this revolution and civil war. He will use it all day long, day after day after day, every day, all day long. So he's going to use the faith rest life as a problem solving device to the maximum during this revolution and civil war. He will use it all day long. 7. In reverse concentration, he will take the essence of God, rationale, off of a peg in his heart. He knows God. He knows the essence of God. He knows who and what God is. And he will apply the essence of God, rationale, to this historical crisis and national disaster. Eight, in reverse concentration, he will take the logistical grace rationale off of a peg in his heart and apply it to this historical crisis and national disaster. He's living one day at a time, all day long. The logistical grace rationale, well, he knows lamentation. Turn over to Lamentations. Lamentations, right after Jeremiah. Lamentations 3. David knows logistical grace. Lamentations 3, verse 22. Because the Lord's great mercies never cease. The Lord's great mercies never cease, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. All day long, one day at a time. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion. Therefore, I have confidence in him. The Lord is good to those who trust in him, to the one who seeks him. It is good to wait quietly for the deliverance of the Lord. 9. When David says all day long, I have confidence in you, he is fulfilling the principle of living one day at a time. He's in great historical crisis and national disaster. He's out living in the desert with almost nothing by way of material things. But he says, all day long, I have confidence in you, fulfilling the principle of living one day at a time. 10. The winner believer lives one day at a time. One day at a time, enjoying God's grace and mercy and great faithfulness, no matter what the circumstances. The winner believer lives one day at a time, enjoying God's grace and mercy and great faithfulness, no matter what the circumstances. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. Morning by morning, every day, one day at a time. Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.